Only the other is just, even the mashal came in, but it's an audience to eat. If someone marries to do long yibbalizot, if someone, something else, if someone does long yibbalizot, how do I say? You can't say, you can't, he's not in this world, b'chol. He's living. You know what? When someone does long yibbalizot, especially when he does long yibbalizot, long, he goes to isolated place and he's working, right? And he forces himself to be longer and longer, a lot of time in the field, okay? So then there's no hester upon him. There's no hester upon him. There's no hiddenness to the face of Hashem. Let's say a person has a situation, illness or parnasa or anything. That's a hester upon him. That's a certain hester upon him. He doesn't see Hashem. But then he goes to the field, right, for a long time, and he brings himself to see Hashem in the situation. That means you're removing all the masks, everything, and you just see Hashem directly. And someone does that a lot, so then he sees Hashem in everything. Like the tzaddikim, they don't hear anyone talking to them, they only hear Hashem. Someone said something, that's what Hashem said. So sometimes we do a lot of yibbalizot and stuff, so we have here and there. The more we work on this, we won't see anyone, won't see anything. We're only going to see Hashem. I got a paycheck, Hashem gave me a paycheck. The day before, it didn't exist. It's not that I need to get it at a certain day. Not that the yeshiva was going to pay me. No, it's not true. You got to pay because Hashem decided to give it to me right now. Mamash, it's mamash like that, 100%. And the day before, you have to ask Hashem, please give me my parnasa, please give. That's from Hashem. Not to say, don't trust the paycheck, Hashem, that's trusting the faucet. Shem Rachem. Don't trust your faucet. It might break one day. But the source never breaks. So,
say one word
in
his brother. Like, if you go in the forest for an hour, 4 hours, and just say Hashem.
Beautiful. Rabbi Natan brings it down. There's a story. This guy came to Rabbi Natan and he said, we have a student who could learn 1,000 and knows 1,000 daf Gemara or something. So Rabbi Natan said, that's a greatness. Greatness is, could a person say 1,000 times Rabbeinu Shalom in Bodhidus? That's the Maila. If someone could call out Ribbono Shel Olam Hashem for 1,000 times, that's a Maila. Not if he knows 1,000 daf Gemara. 1,000 daf is half a Shas. It's a lot, right? Shas is about 2,700. So Rabbi Natan says what you said. So, we have a few minutes, so we're going to say some stories. Rabbeinu says to say stories of his people, so we'll say some stories of Levi Yitzchak Benda. By the way, a day which you see a shear from me which is flowing good and everything is because I had a good yibbalizot, to you know clearly. A day which you see from me a good shear, have what to say and it's flowing and everything, so I had a good yibbalizot the day before. Or that same day. If you see it stuck, you understand how my yibbalizot looked. So, won't exaggerate if we say that the story of Levi Yitzchak's journey from Poland to Uman to Ukraine, 1914, when the First World War broke out, it was weird. Miracles, miraculous miracles, mamash, beyond Teva. The Satan knew what, like we said, what of Levi Yitzchak is going to be such a big thing in Breslev, and he tried to prevent it very much.
What happened?
Here, now we're going to go through the story. Avadat said, Levi said, if I would have stayed in Poland, what would have come out of me? Nothing. So fine. Makov, the city where he lived in Yeshiva, was near the capital, Varsha, Warsaw, yeah? So if you want to leave little Makov, which is like, let's say, a little Yeshuv somewhere, you have to go through the main city. So he went to Warsaw, and he was a young, 18 years old, delicate person, he didn't know how to do the ways, and it's not like today, you go horse and wagon, and then you go on a train, it's an old story over there. Yeah, fine.
Is this the first time he's going to Yuman?
Yeah, of course, yeah, he didn't leave Poland before at all. Yeah. And every corner, there were of course soldiers from all types and other things, which did not love the Jews so much. No, they were living there, they don't like it at all. right? And especially to go through borders, it's a crazy thing. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, I left the yeshiva, which was closed. I got to Warsaw with the yeshiva, with the boys, and each one went on to his place. In Warsaw, the father of my friend Rabbi Yitzchak came. And it's true, Rabbi Yitzchak, he wanted to go also to Uman, but his father told him, no, you're coming with me to Lodz. So, but he said, no, I have to go, it's soon Rosh Hashanah, I must go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. So his father said, fine, I'll let you go to Uman Rosh Hashanah. First come home to Lodz, and then go to Uman. Fine, that was the story. We'll talk about him later maybe. Rabbi Yitzchak was prepared to go to Uman. But right in the beginning, the objections, menias, opposition from the Satan began. He had a terrible, terrible stomachache. Terrible, he couldn't stand. He said, that the pain that I had couldn't make me, I couldn't stand. I was literally on the floor like a snake. What do you call it? I couldn't move. But the idea to go to Uman did not nullify by this. So in the middle of the house, one of the nice houses over there, he had a very rich brother that lived there. I was able to go to my brother's house to rest at least for a few days till I become strong again. Right? I don't understand what made me not do that. The most logical thing is you have a brother, your brother, who lives right there in a beautiful house. He has no problem hosting you. You have a crazy stomach, you can't go anywhere. So go to his house, rest a day or two, and go on, right? So I don't know what pushed me. It wasn't me. I don't know what happened. But I decided I'm continuing. And I'm walking by my house, my brother's house in the same street. I walked by his house. I don't understand why I didn't go anywhere. Not even for short. Why? I don't know. I decided to go. I didn't understand. Someone was pushing me. So he went to the Vokzal, which is the train station in Polish and also in Russian, you say the same thing. As if there's no other way. He had power from somewhere, I don't know from where. It's like Rabbi Natan also, when he was looking for Rabbeinu, until he remembered the dream, this young Avrech, which was Rabbeinu, told him in the dream, young boy, continue going. Tell Rabbi Natan. So that's how he felt. About a kilometer, even more than a kilometer away from the station, the place was packed, mobbed. You can't go forward. People buying tickets, waiting for the trains. People waiting for days, sleeping in the outside. Summertime, after all, to go. Rabbi Yitzchak was a push between the people over there. There was a lot of chaos. And then they heard that the next train going north towards Russia and Ukraine was the next. It was the last train going. So everyone tried to get onto the train. Rabbi Yitzchak said that if he would just stop for a moment and think, he would have not gone. He just did not think. He just had this idea in his head, going to Uman, regardless, he killed him, he doesn't care. He's going to Uman. That's the idea he had in his head. Right? That's what gave him the koyach. Everyone understands that if he wouldn't have gone, Uman, Breslev would have lost everything, mamash. And that's what saved Breslev, basically. And he was going himself back and forth, should I go, should I not go, but he went. He just knows one thing, if he wouldn't have gone into his brother, he wouldn't have gone to Uman anymore. Why? His brother wouldn't have left him, anyways.
Train.
So someone gave him an idea, something gave him an idea. He decided, he took a train the other direction. I did that once, the place was packed. The other direction, he got off, he said, I'll get on the train there, the earlier stop, this would be less. It wasn't true. It was full also there. So what did he do? He decided, I'm going on the train. So he's standing on the windows, trying to get in through the window. He doesn't know what to do. Okay. 17 years old he was, with crazy pain, right? Suddenly he finds himself right near the window, and he takes his bag, his suitcase, and he's putting it on the window, and someone is pulling his bag in, he's holding onto the bag, so he was pulled into the window also. So that's how he got onto the train. Someone, he doesn't know who or what, He put his back to the window, and someone pulled him, pulled his bag, and he was pulled into the train. He didn't understand how it was or what it was. No one was able to get onto the train. He looked around. No one got onto the train. He's the one who got onto the train. So he, Levitz concludes, from Shamayim, I guess I was dragged in. He can't explain this. He's not explaining. He's just telling you what it was.